Welcome to Catholic Radio Indy's Lunchtime Podcast Sampler. I'm Kent Blanford. Each week, we'll bring you a sampling of some of the best Catholic podcasts being prepared and shared out there on the internet. Well, Happy New Year! Almost. This Sunday, we begin the season of Advent, and with it, the new liturgical year. Today on the sampler, while the rest of the world has moved on to Christmas, we'll be taking a look at the reason for the season of Advent and how it can make Christmas even more special. First up is a podcast from Jeff Cavins asking, Advent, will you be ready?
You're listening to The Jeff Cavins Show, episode 92, Advent, will you be ready? Hey, I'm Jeff Cavins. How do you simplify your life? How do you study the Bible? All the way from motorcycle trips to raising kids, we're going to talk about the faith and life in general. It's The Jeff Cavins Show. Hey, welcome to the show. We are, at the time of this broadcast, getting ready for Advent, which is that time of the year where we await the Lord's coming at Christmas, and the church gives us quite a few weeks here to prepare for the coming of the Lord, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that today. Not going to be a long show, but I want to just share some things with you that I'm thinking about in my own life as far as preparing for Christmas, preparing for the coming of the Lord. Because as you know, it's just so noisy right now, you know, with what's going on in the news and the shopping has kind of become ridiculous, you know, in a lot of ways. You have Black Friday, Cyber Monday, this Tuesday, that Wednesday, and so forth. And the whole marketing engine of the country wants us to really focus on Christmas, but they don't want us focusing on Christmas the way we should be focusing on Christmas. They want us to focus on Christmas because they have their focus on our wallets. And that is simply not what Christmas is about. So I want to talk about preparing your heart for the coming of the Lord, because this is a unique time for us to invite the Lord into our lives to deal with areas that really do need to be dealt with. And what's interesting is that what comes up around Christmas so often with family get-togethers and emotional turmoil, you know, between siblings and all these things that can go on, those are some of the things that the Lord actually might want to work on you this year. You know, he might want to work on you in that area this year. And I know that there are some areas in my life that the Lord wants to work on as well. Hey, I got a nice letter from Paul in Great Britain. And he says that he met his partner a few years ago, and she introduced him to regular church attendance. He says, I'm not Catholic. She is. A couple of years ago, after spending several years sitting at the back of our church, we got a new priest, and things then just really started to change. And he said, now I'm attending the RCIA, and I will complete it at the Easter Vigil in 2019. Says he's really enjoyed the show, and he's working through the backlog of the shows, and he is just really getting an awful lot out of it and growing. And we want to pray for you, Paul, and thank you for writing. And we get a lot of people that write and tell us, you know, what's happening in their life, as well as a number of questions. And we do have a few shows that are getting lined up in the future, where we're just going to be answering a lot of these questions that come in. You know, speaking of email, you can get a hold of me at thejeffcavinshow@ascensionpress.com. And I want to invite you to do something over the next couple weeks, and that is send your prayer requests in to me. If you have any prayer requests during the Lenten or during the Advent season here, I want to pray for you. And so just, I encourage you to send those in, whatever it might be. I want to offer that to you, that I will pray for you. Well, the Advent season is a season where we're preparing for the coming of the Lord. And one of my favorite texts is in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3 and 4. And chapter 3 is where John the Baptist goes down to the Jordan River in the wilderness of Judea. And Jesus is going to be coming to the Jordan River to begin his public ministry at the very same place that the Old Testament Joshua started his public ministry by taking the Israelites across the Jordan River over into Jericho to take that. But listen to what John says in preparing for the Lord. And this is something that is going to be really important for you and for me to prepare for Advent and to reorient our hearts and our minds during Advent. John said, Matthew's Gospel says this in chapter 3, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And for this is he who is spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" I love that because it really talks about how do we prepare for the coming of the Lord? Well, throughout the whole season of Advent, we have this amazing opportunity to prepare, and at the heart of it really is repentance. It is repentance. But I want to kind of put a spin on this in the way that the Catechism of the Catholic Church puts a bit of a spin on this and shows us, I think, a different way to envision what it means to repent. Let me read a little bit to you from the Catechism, starting in paragraph 1430. In fact, it's 1430 all the way to 1432. And it really has some great insight on how to repent as far as preparing for the Lord. Now, before I read that, the reason that repentance is so important is that we have to reorient our minds, our whole life, to receive the Lord, because he wants to come in and do some amazing things in our lives. Maybe it's a habit that you have. Maybe it's a relationship that is an unhealthy relationship, right? Maybe you're caught up in worry or envy, or you're struggling with your diet, whatever it might be in your life, and you're uncomfortable about it, and you're saying, "Lord, you know, man, if you could come into my life, this is the area that I would love for you to deal with in my life." And I think that's part of what this whole preparation is about, is, "Lord, I'm anticipating at Christmas more than just physical gifts from the mall. What I'm anticipating is your work in my heart." And that's where I'm at this year. And I wanted to share that with you, is that I'm asking the Lord to do a work in my heart that needs to be done in different areas, and to de-emphasize what our culture is putting so much emphasis in, which is material things and purchasing, you know, buying, the whole economy. Now, listen to what the Catechism says. It says that Jesus' call to conversion and penance, like that of the prophets before him, does not aim first at outward works, sackcloth and ashes, fasting and mortification, but at the conversion of the heart, interior conversion. Without this, such penances remain sterile and false. However, interior conversion urges expression in visible signs, gestures, and works of penance. And that's what we need to do to begin to prepare for the coming of the Lord, is we need this interior conversion, the conversion of the heart. Now, the very next paragraph is one of my all-time favorites, 1431. It says, "Interior repentance is a radical reorientation of our whole life." Isn't that a beautiful statement? I love that statement. You know, when we think about repentance, oftentimes people will go back to an image they have in their head of some guy standing on a street corner, you know, with a great big sign, "Repent or go to hell." And we have this really negative connotation when it comes to repentance. But repentance, if you really understand it, is an incredibly positive thing. So we go from what is hurting us to what will give us life. And to repent means that there's going to be a radical reorientation. That's right. We're going to reorient our lives. Our whole life, it's a return, it's a conversion to God with all of our heart. an end of sin, a turning away from evil with repugnance toward the evil actions that we have committed. And at the same time, it entails the desire and resolution to change one's life with hope in God's mercy and trust in the help of His grace. And so this opportunity that we have now is one to reorient your whole life. And so if your finances are out of control, this is a time to reorient your finances and align them with God's will. If it's your eating habits, if it's envy or you're just struck down with jealousy over a family member, this is the time, my friend, to reorient your life. It's a time to get everything back in order the way that it should be. And to me, you know, this Advent season it's an opportunity for grace. It's an opportunity for mercy for me to say, you know, this year has been rough. And maybe it has been for you. Some of the emails that I receive, I know that you're going through difficult times. And in God, in His wisdom, in the liturgical calendar, gives us a time for every season that we can deal with our heart in multiple ways. And this time of the year, Advent, is one of preparing for Jesus to come into our lives in a powerful, powerful way. And in a lot of ways, this is a smaller look at a much bigger reality, and that is the second coming of the Lord. Will you be ready? Or will you be thrown off, you know, totally surprised? Well, we've got the advantage with the liturgical year where we can actually purposely prepare for His coming. I love that. So the liturgical calendar begins the season of Advent shortly, the period of anticipation for the Lord's arrival. And I'll just ask a question. Are you ready for a new era with Christ? A new period with Christ? Do you need a new beginning? This is your opportunity. Don't let it go by. But you're going to have to make some changes because the pace of the holiday season will drown you if you don't make a decision to do something different. It's really, really true. Are you in need of healing, restoration in a relationship, as I said, personal conduct? What would be more exciting this Christmas? 3 or 4 new CDs or new clothes, or for your family relationships to be healed? Or the anxiety that you experience to subside? The worry that has gripped your heart to go away. Something much greater than material gifts awaits us this Christmas. Jesus wants to heal us and restore broken lives, but it requires a change on our part. In fact, you'll see this all throughout Scripture where God wants to work in our lives, but He requires us to do something prior. Hosea talks about tilling the ground, you know, and we need to till the ground so that the seed of God has a place to germinate. Oftentimes in the Bible, God required things of people that they should do this and He will do that. And we'll do a whole show on that sometime, but it's actually quite, you know, quite fascinating. Elijah experienced this, you know, with getting the oil for a miracle. Now, through repentance and humility, the road is made straight for Jesus to come into our lives this Christmas season. Anticipating the Christmas season is a wonderful thing, but so often we aim so low and settle for a few material gifts. Allow Christ to bless you with His peace and His vast provisions. If you're like me, every Christmas I buy presents for my loved ones. But I have a hard time waiting because I want to give my gifts to them early. And as much as we desire all that God has for us, He desires to give us a gift even more. In the words of St. Augustine, God thirsts that we would thirst for Him. Now, I'm going to take a break. When I come back, I'm going to give you just a few suggestions on what you could do this Advent season and preparing for Advent that will make it more fruitful and truly allow Christ to come into those areas of your life that He desperately wants to change. You're listening to The Jeff Cavin Show.
And if you're looking for a way to learn more about your Catholic faith, I invite you to check out the Ascension Presents YouTube channel. You're going to find tons of free videos featuring Catholic presenters like Matt Fradd, Leah Darrow, Jackie and Bobby Angel, and Emily Wilson. Go to youtube.com/ascensionpresents. That's youtube.com/ascensionpresents. And if you like what you see, please share and subscribe.
Welcome back. We're talking about preparing for Advent, which Advent in itself is a season in the liturgical year where we prepare for the coming of the Lord. And we were talking before the break about this idea of repentance and what repentance is, which is a reorientation of your whole life to Christ. And so as we prepare for Advent, and this message obviously goes on into Advent as well. A couple things I want to share with you. Number one is I think it would be a great idea, and this is what I'm doing, is to take some time to pray, get alone with the Lord. It could be a holy hour. It could be before the Blessed Sacrament. It could be in your office. It could be in your car before you go to work. It could be in the morning with a cup of tea. Whenever, find that time to sit down with the Lord and say, Lord, I really need you to speak to my heart. I need you to speak to my heart. I need you to illuminate my heart and what is going on in my life. Now get a pen or a pencil and a notebook and begin and pray and say, Lord, I want you to shine your spotlight on the areas of my life that you would like to come into and you would like to change, because I want to prepare for that change by reorienting my life toward you in these areas. Now, as you pray that, just be quiet for a few minutes. Just be quiet and take 10 minutes or so and ask the Lord to show you. And I believe he can, because when we ask him to do these things that are going to help us to become better disciples and to give him honor and glory, I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit is capable of giving you a thought about these areas. So if you prayed and suddenly you're thinking, Lord, I'm not controlling my appetite anymore. And that could be in food, that could be in media, you name it. Maybe the Lord is putting his hand on that area of your life. Are you struggling with a sibling or a coworker or a neighbor? Is there envy in your heart? You know what envy is. Envy is jealousy is I want what that guy has. Well, envy is, I don't want that guy to have what that guy has. And when he gets blessed, it makes me sad. Envy is a terrible, terrible sin around Christmas, especially as the family gets together. Is the Lord shining his light on that area of your life? Is it your internet life? You struggle with pornography? Do you struggle with endless YouTube videos for entertainment, and you're really wasting your time? Maybe that's something that the Lord would shine his light on. Maybe you are struggling with somebody at work, and you're angry. Maybe there's an anger issue that the Lord wants to come into your life, and he wants to heal. He wants to help you in that area. Or trust. Whatever it is, I could go on and on with all these different problems that we struggle with, which are common to all of us. But the key is this: it's you and the Lord. You take the time. You take the time to get together with the Lord and to say, Lord, you illuminate my heart. You show that light right on those areas and you write them down. So you take your notebook and you start writing down these areas of your life that you really feel like the Lord wants to change. You know, he came into the world 2,000 years ago because he loved you. He loved you, and he wants to give you life, and he wants to give you life more abundantly. But we must respond to the good news with repentance, turn our lives around, reorient our lives, as we were mentioning at the first of the show today. Now, once you have that list of the areas that you feel that the Lord is, he's coming in. He wants to come in, and he wants to zero in on those areas. Then what we need to do is we need to change the way we live, because I'll be honest with you, if you're like me, if you don't make the effort to bring margin into your life, time, extra time into your life where you can be with the Lord coming this Advent season, then it's probably going to be like the years in the past. And for me, unfortunately, for many years, that meant that, well, it wasn't any different than any other time of the year, other than my problems in my heart got bigger. You know, the struggles got bigger, and my life was busier than ever during the season. Isn't it interesting, my friend, that at the time when the Lord wants to come into our lives and change us, we ramp everything up to high gear, 100 miles an hour, spending money, spending time, and eating and eating, and wow, we missed it. We missed it again. Don't let that happen this year. What I'm going to encourage you to do, beyond writing down those areas that you think the Lord might want to change, is find some times for silence. Do something different. There's the traditional, which are fantastic. Sign up for some holy hours at church. Sit down and read scripture more often. Pray the rosary in the car rather than listen to the radio. There's all kinds of things that you can do to put yourself in a place where you can hear God and you can settle yourself down and start to allow Him to address some of these issues. If a couple of the issues seem to be really glowing on that page, like, wow, I know He's really dealing with that, you might want to get a book on that topic from a good Catholic bookstore. And read it during this Advent season as a way of saying, Lord, okay, I know You're putting Your hand in that area of my life, and I want to start to be open here and listen to wisdom on what I can do. Maybe take, you know, buy a couple of books to address those issues. But do some things differently. Maybe it's in the morning you're just going to go out and take a walk. And maybe you don't normally do that, but you're going to say, you know, for this Advent, I'm going to take a walk in the morning to just spend that time with the Lord. I am going to be in the car, and I'm not going to turn the radio on during Advent because I want to hear You, Lord. I want to talk to You out loud in the car. I haven't done that, you might say, but this Advent, you could. You could. Maybe you want to go to Mass on Sunday, 15, 20, 30 minutes early, and just sit in His presence. And if your church has a chapel where the Blessed Sacrament is present, it's a great time just to sit before the Lord. You might want to do something that is radically different for you. Maybe go snowshoeing. Maybe go cross-country skiing and just spend that time with the Lord, conscious of what He's trying to do in your life. I guess what I'm saying, my friend, is this year, do something a little different. Do something a little different to give time to the Lord for quiet. The storm is going to come, believe me. The advertising is there, trust me. And it's going to get busy, and the family's going to be coming in from out of state, and everything's going to be turned up. But you will have prepared. You will have prepared. And if you are struggling with unforgiveness towards any of your relatives, now's the time to begin to ask the Lord to soften your heart, to till the soil of your heart so His word can take hold and it will accomplish then what He wants to accomplish in your life. You've got several weeks. Let's not squander it. We've got several weeks. Let's be imaginative. Let's be creative. Let's get the notebook out and write these things down. Let's make up our mind that I'm going to do these two or three things during Lent. They're going to give me the time to prepare my heart for Christ coming in. And then on Easter, Christmas morning, you can say with a jubilant heart, man, Lord, I'm so glad I prepared for Your coming. You have been doing a work in my life, and I want to celebrate that now that You have come into the world. I want to celebrate what You have been doing in my life. Well, I'm going to pray for you, and I do pray that you have a great Advent. I just wanted to share with you a couple things that I'm doing, and I'd like to hear from you. And if you have prayer intentions during Advent, go ahead and send them to me. We will compile those. I will pray for you. My wife will join me, and we'll pray for you. And I'll share many of these with the staff at Ascension Press. They'll pray for you. But we want to pray that God will give you a fruitful Advent, an Advent that is different than any other Advent you've ever gone through before. God loves you. God wants to change you, and the power is available to do it. He's just asking us to take that step. Reorient your life. My prayer for you, my friend, let's pray right now. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, I lift up my friend listening right now, and I ask that you will give them the courage and the strength and the creativeness to reorient their life in preparation for your coming. And that as we reorient our life, we will hear you clearly. Oh God, we want to hear your voice. We want wisdom on these areas that need to change in our life. We celebrate you. We just celebrated Christ the King. You are the King. And Lord, now we invite you into our life in a special way during this Advent season. We thank you for the change that you are going to bring. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friend, it's been good to talk to you a little bit this week. Hey, by the way, I did not tell you, I don't think I told you, the Great Adventure Bible was sold out. They have them in again. You can pre-order it now. So if you go to ascensionpress.com, you can get your Great Adventure Bible. We've never seen anything like this. I mean, these things don't fly off the shelf. They explode off the shelf. And it's amazing. And if you have any experience with the Great Adventure Bible, send me an email. I'd like to know what you think of it and how it has changed your Bible reading and your understanding of salvation history. Again, my email is thejeffcavenshow@ascensionpress.com. God bless you. We'll talk to you next week.
At Catholic Radio, we love to hear from you. Call us anytime. Just recently, we found this message on our voicemail.
I'm a non-Catholic that listens to your Catholic radio station, and I just wanted to thank you guys. I listen to Catholic Answers and Al Cresta sometimes, and I think her name's Teresa Tommy. I listen to her and another show or two. I appreciate it.
Call us at 317-870-8400 and let us know what you're thinking.
I just called to say, even though I'm not a Catholic, I listen to your station.
Welcome back. Our next serving in today's sampler comes from the podcast series Catholic Stuff You Should Know, as they explore the traditions surrounding Advent and especially the iconic Advent wreath.
Welcome to Catholic Stuff You Should Know, a J10 initiative.
Hey. Welcome to the podcast. I'm trying to work on my intro because Joe always critiques it. So good to have you on the podcast. Welcome. This is Joe and Deacon John.
John gave a homily at the seminary this past week, and it was the best homily I think I've heard you hear. I mean, you've given some great homilies.
Oh, just keep it coming. Okay.
It was the first one when you weren't screaming, so that was awesome. But he started off his podcast saying, "This is like Monday of the first week of Advent," and he's like, his first line is, "I don't know about you guys, but I'm totally sick of Christmas."
Which was true. I was with my family, and you know, I have one of these mothers who it's like the way she shows love, the way you love her is by shopping with her on Black Friday, and it was like the most terrific experience of my life. But I had enough Christmas from that day to be like, no, thank you. So,
no, it was a great homily though. But yeah, it's true, man. We're rolling right into Starbucks as their little Christmas cups.
Let's go back to this homily, though. Just keep telling us about how great it was and kind of, you know.
So. Well, I actually filled out a great evaluation that I can't find. So John gave me a little evaluation form. He has to, for his homiletics class, you know. And I filled it out and
we have
completely
to film,
misplaced it.
We have to film homilies for our class and then watch them. It's like the most painful thing ever to watch yourself. But it's even more painful when the guy you give the evaluation to loses it. And it's due in about an hour and a half. So.
And we're just doing a podcast instead trying
we'll
to work
podcast
this out.
Anyways. And this podcast our problems away. Special shout out to Mike, our producer, who is probably sleeping right now. So
I know. Thanks for joining us.
Good to see you, Mike. Hopefully we'll see you. Yeah, there you go. That's enough.
Wow, that was really
special.
Cool. Yeah, dude. So you're probably like, all right, this is about Advent wreaths because it's clear that's what you clicked on, right?
Is it Advent wreaths or Advent? I haven't seen the topics.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I'll start off with Advent and go into Advent. Real question real quick, though. Yeah. Do you remember the first gift I gave you ever in our friendship?
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
I'll give you a hint. I think it's under my passenger side of my car seat.
Andrew Peterson CD.
That's right, man.
Yeah. Is that why you asked about that yesterday?
No, I just, it was kind of like two things on my mind at once.
And if you gave me that, why is it in your car?
That's what I want to know, because you gave me the car.
I gave you the car.
Under the seat when you gave it to me.
Touche.
There's an Andrew Peterson CD. In fact, the music that you heard at the start of this podcast is from that CD. It's an awesome CD, and I only talk about it because this podcast is about Advent in a way. You know, it's the Advent season. Thought it'd be cool to do something. We'll go a little deeper. But yeah. This CD is a great way to prepare for the Christmas season. It's called Behold the Lamb of God. Andrew Peterson is one of my favorite artists.
It's on sale at Best Buy for $15.99.
Exactly.
Nobody buys CDs.
Andrew Peterson is clearly not listening to this podcast. He's not Catholic, and he doesn't even know who we are. So,
but Dr. J.
But he's getting a plug. Dr. J would not like it because maybe it's a little too hee-haw for his taste, as he might have found out at the beginning of this podcast. But it's great. It's called Behold the Lamb of God, and it tells the Christmas story. But not just like the nativity story about Mary and Joseph. It kind of tells it from a salvation history perspective, yeah. You know, and really with maybe six or seven tracks with really broad strokes, just kind of painting the story of Israel's history, waiting for a savior, a song about the Passover lamb,
right.
And Moses, and a song about the prophets and longing for a kingdom and a king, you know, on a throne full of power with a sword in his fist, you know, like there's this longing in Israel that is really brought out in this CD. And there's some fun songs, too. I know the whole genealogy of Jesus.
Do not sing
Matthew
that song right now. Do not sing
because
that.
Because of the song on there.
Joe, we need to give them a warning, though. Andrew Peterson is a great Christian man, and he is steeped in Scripture, and he's a real poet. But you know what I'm going to say?
No, you're so critical of his voice.
Okay, I like it. I have a couple of his CDs, but he's got a little bit of the Kermit the Frog thing going on. That's all I'm saying.
That's true. I'll give you that.
But it's still worth buying.
So. It is definitely worth buying. I'm a big fan, as you might be able to tell.
Right. As you look away from me in shame. I'm sorry I said that.
No.
I feel like I had to tell him
that. It's good. And I have to warn you, too. This is such a bad thing for a Catholic podcast. But one of the songs, there's a little bit of the heresy in it, but it's a beautiful song. It's just about, I think it like denies the fourth Marian dogma about her perpetual virginity.
That's a, you know.
But, you know, if you can look over that, there's a lot more good than bad. But yeah. I don't want to endorse that, you know, that interpretation.
That'd be another good podcast topic, actually. Perpetual virginity of Mary.
It would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You can do that. That's theology. You're all about that, man.
Schmology.
I'm only a first theologian.
Okay, tell us about Advent first theologian.
All right. So Advent, what's the deal with Advent? Why do we have Advent? I was just at a Denver County jail giving a reflection to the inmates there. Not a homily, a reflection.
Okay.
And, part of it, I was talking about Advent. Why do we have this Advent season? You know, because the culture and Starbucks and all the people that you saw when you were shopping are pretty much wrapped up in Christmas already. I mean, right after Thanksgiving ends, Christmas begins.
Right.
So what's the point of Advent? And what I see is why I love Advent's one of my favorite seasons. And what I love about it is that it's all about why do we need Christ? Why do we, you know, what's the deal? It's like Christmas is great. Everybody knows Christmas, birth of Christ. That's awesome. But honestly, like, who cares if who cares that Christ is here if we don't know why we are in desperate need of him to be here?
That's an interesting point. I never thought of that. That the Christmas is kind of like the what happened, but the Advent is the why.
It's like,
if you never ask why did this happen, if you never prepare your heart with that question, then it doesn't even matter. You're just like, yep, it happened. Okay, great.
Exactly. It's really reflecting upon our desperate need for a king to order our lives, to order the world, to bring peace to the world, our desperate need for God, you know, and for the infinite, and really to kind of be in solidarity with the Israelites for, you know, the first 4,000 years or so, according to Scripture,
right.
Of, you know, people living in the world without Christ, without God, incarnate in the world, you know. So really getting into their mindset of like longing for redemption, longing for a savior. And also so there's two comings we're really focused on: the historical coming of Christ in time and the eschatological, the at the end of time, the last coming. You know, we believe that in the creed we say, you know, he will come again to judge living and the dead. So we're looking forward to that coming of Christ as well. And there's also a coming into our own hearts
right
now, you know, why do I need you, Christ? So it's just a great time to prepare. Advent, actually, I didn't know this, but it was borrowed from it's an old thing. We've been doing it in the church for I think like 1600 years from the 4th century.
I was just going to say, just make up a number. No,
in the 4th century, we started doing Advent. I think there was a 40 days of preparation for Lent from the early church.
Right.
And they're like, hey, Lent's so awesome. We should do something like this for Christmas. Or, it was really for Epiphany at first, but they had this time of preparation. But it's been practiced in the church. It's not just like, you know, some people might be like, why do Catholics do this Advent thing?
Most
Christians don't do this. Some other Christians do, but most Christians don't. Like, what's the point? Well, it's like, well, you know what? Christians have been doing this for much longer than they have not. You know,
So
this is a big part of what is just the Christian life and living it. So, but we're not here to talk about Advent specifically. We're going to talk about one of the most famous Advent traditions that you'll find in a lot of Catholic homes.
Advent wreaths.
Yes, not the Jesse tree.
Now, listen, we have the downstairs in our kitchen right now. This is a bunch of dudes, and so we have these four candles, but we have no greenery or anything. Does that constitute as an Advent wreath?
Oh, no. You're going to hear why. You're pretty much totally a pagan.
We're just lazy.
In fact, I think that is a pagan tradition that you just adopted. So this is like a Boulder podcast. We talked about marijuana last week. We're talking about pagan religions.
I know. Hey, Boulder, Colorado.
We're going to get a lot of shout-outs in
Boulder.
Yeah, so Advent wreaths. Did you ever do a Jesse tree, by the way?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. I thought that was a joke about your sister.
No, it's not about my sister Jessica. Although, I think the reason why we don't have some of the... Okay, well, the Jesse tree is this... I don't even know what it is. My mom's going to be horrified when she hears it, if she hears this. But something, I don't know, some Catholics do it out there. It's like, all I know is we like went and got like an old dead tree from the woods and hung these little ornaments on it that had like scripture passages in the back.
In Advent?
Well, yeah, during Advent. It was about like, I don't know what it was about, but all I know is that like maybe the dog ate like four of the little ornaments, so we didn't even have the complete set. So.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, so I'm sorry if I'm offending any Jesse tree.
I think that sounds
Jesse
like a very special Doman family practice.
Maybe. I've heard of Jesse trees outside. It's not one of the Advent calendars you guys have downstairs.
No, so that's pretty sweet. And 2 days now, I didn't get the chocolate. These guys keep snaking them. 6 a.m. and the chocolate's gone for the day. Anyways, back to Advent wreaths.
Advent wreaths. So, okay, so Advent wreaths is probably the most popular Christmas tradition or Advent tradition people have in their homes.
Right.
A lot of people have them on their dinner tables. In most churches, parishes, you'll see an Advent wreath. So there's a lot of symbolism here. And there's a lot of beauty to kind of be drawn out of this that, you know, as Catholics, a lot of times we do these things, but we don't understand the fullest meaning behind them.
Right.
So we're going to go into that.
Right.
First, let's talk about where it came from. Why do we do this?
Okay.
We don't really exactly know where it came from exactly. We know we've been doing it since about the 15th century. And what they do know, I thought this is kind of fun. Germans, like pre-Christian Germans, back in the, you know, cold, dark winter, December days, they would have a wreath with candles on it and they would pray, you know, just as a reminder that the warmth is coming again, you know, the sun will come out again. And just kind of hope
Germans,
in the darkness.
What beautiful people.
I know, Germans.
Just amazing.
It's true. You 50% German, you.
I know.
And then the Scandinavians, this is your pagan thing.
Yeah.
They would, you know, I've never been to Scandinavia, but I imagine it's like completely freezing cold all the time, but except for a few months. But during the cold, they would make this big wooden wheel and put all these candles on it and, you know, go outside and pray to the sun god to turn the world back towards the sun to make the days longer and warmer. I mean, which makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, if I was a non-Christian, pagan Scandinavian, instead of like freezing my butt off in my little Scandinavian house, I could...
Yeah, it's like how many villages can you raid as a Viking and then you want to do something else?
Seriously,
you know?
Why not pray to the god of the sun to bring the warmth back, you know? But now they're, you know, hopefully most of them are Christians and they do that. But anyway, that was before the Advent wreath. But they think maybe it came from this kind of tradition of like... wreath and candles and stuff like that, but all we know is that the Lutherans actually started doing it first,
Lutherans, as my grandmother from Minnesota says, the Lutherans, but they're Ludafisk. Yeah, go ahead, continue.
I don't know what that means. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm just laughing at your face.
I'm trying to look really intensely focused.
I know that.
I'm so ADD.
So the Lutherans stole it from the Scandinavians, or they inherited it from them, or started doing it. And I think the Catholics were just like, hey, that's a great idea.
Wink, and took
it from them. And now we have Advent wreaths for the last 500 years.
So Advent wreaths are a Lutheran thing.
Just like, you know, Andrew Peterson's not Catholic, but we all...
Our old cook, Eric Rolf Fronson, would be very happy to hear that.
He's a Lutheran who
worked at our Catholic seminary and an awesome, awesome...
Awesome guy.
...cook and chef, but he'll be very happy to hear this, so...
That's true. So I'm sure he's rocking his Advent wreath right now.
I bet he is. Absolutely.
Kitchen table.
Absolutely.
All right. So what is the Advent wreath comprised of? They're basically two main elements. There's a wreath of fresh green plants, usually like pine or, you know, a holly or something like that. Some sort of evergreen. And then you have four candles, right? So let's talk about the wreath first.
Okay.
The symbolism in the wreath. First of all, it's circular. circular, the circle is always a symbol for eternity, right? And what it represents, the circular shape, is that in Christmas, as we prepare for the eternal God to come into our lives, to come into our finite reality, the infinite is stepping in, the eternal is stepping in.
Right.
So basically, we encounter divinity at this time of Christmas, you know? So it's kind of a reminder of that, which I think is really cool. The second thing is the fresh plants. What does they symbolize? They symbolize that Christ comes to give us life, give us eternal life, and it symbolizes the immortality of our own soul. You know, so all in all, altogether, the wreath of evergreens depicts the immortality of our soul and the new everlasting life promised to us through Christ, the eternal Word of the Father, who entered our world, becoming true man, victorious over sin and death through his own passion, death, and resurrection. So,
excellent.
Really cool. So that's the evergreen. And I don't know what it symbolizes if you have like the plastic green wreath around. I know some people...
We don't even have plastic green here. We just have...
You know,
four
like the fake wreath. I think it just symbolizes.
So we should get some real stuff. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. So yeah, I know. If you don't want to go out and get the real evergreen stuff, you know, some people have the plastic, but the evergreen is important. It's a symbol of the life that Jesus comes and the immortality of our own soul, and the plastic kind of symbolizes that you're a total sellout or something like
right,
that.
You're already celebrating Christmas, probably.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Why don't you go to Starbucks?
Exactly.
I'm just kidding. I have a Starbucks gift card in my wallet right now. So the candles. There's three purple candles and one pink candle. So the purple are, and how it works for those who aren't familiar with this custom, is that for each week of Advent, Advent's a 4-week long thing. For each week, you light a candle one at a time. So first week's one candle's lit, second week two candles, and so on from there. And the first 2 weeks are purple, third week is pink.
I'd like to say it's rose,
not
pink, because I'm going to be wearing vestments that day that are not pink, and everyone's going to be like, nice pink, since father, blah, blah. Everybody does that every year. I'm just like,
and that's
oh
like
gosh.
Every priest wants to defend himself.
They're rose.
That's right.
Okay, continue.
You will never wear pink. And the last one's purple again. So the purple is a symbol of penance, preparation, sacrifice, kind
of
like
Lent.
Because
Lent, right?
We wear purple in Lent. We wear purple in Advent.
Cool.
Because Advent is a penitential season.
Right.
A lot of people don't know that. It's just like we're waiting, you know. But there is an element of repentance, a call to return to the Lord, prepare your heart, stir up this longing.
Right.
But the pink, or the rose, is also a sign of rejoicing.
Rejoice.
And excitement and hope.
And we call that Gaudete.
Gaudete Sunday.
Gaudete.
Yes.
Your Latin's fresher than mine.
It's true.
Sorry.
So yeah, this Advent is a time of hopeful expectation. It's a beautiful time because it's like hope is not just something like, oh, you know, I hope this happens.
Yeah.
I don't know. But hope implies a real, I know this is going to happen. And implies faith that God will come into my heart. God did come to this earth and he will come again. It's a confidence that it will, and looking forward to it. So it's less of a painful thing, like, oh, you know, I don't know, I hope this happens, who knows?
Yeah.
But it's much more of like a joyful expectation.
Right.
We're joyfully expecting Christ to enter our lives.
And at St. Thomas says, joy is the sign of true hope.
Yes.
That is the authentic fruit of real hope. There you go.
Very cool. And there's one other candle thing. This is kind of more of a modern adaptation. A lot of people on Christmas Eve will put a white candle in the center.
Oh, really?
To symbolize kind of the coming of Christ. He's coming tonight. Or we'll replace all the candles with white, all four candles with white candles.
I bet
instead.
Those are the same people who have Jesse trees. Who are doing
actually,
that.
It's true. We did it in my home, I know.
Oh, your mother's going to kill me.
She is. We're not making friends.
Sorry,
here in
Mom,
the Doman household.
Yep.
But yeah, so those are the four candles, the wreath. This is the whole thing. And it's a beautiful thing because there's also prayers. I didn't know this. We didn't do this growing up. But there's prayers that the father of the house traditionally can pray as he's lighting each candle at the beginning of the week.
Beautiful.
I'm not going to read them because they're long here, but maybe if Mike wasn't sleeping right now, maybe he could put them on the website.
Exactly. Yeah, but people could probably just Google that, don't you think?
I think so, yeah. They're beautiful prayers, though, and any Catholic fathers out there listening who are like, this might be a cool tradition to do.
Great thing to do, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But all in all, the Advent wreath is just, it's a great thing because it's a way to keep Christ in Christmas, and it's a way to really remind us in the hustle and bustle of our culture and society and kind of jumping to Christmas right away, to remember the Advent season and in our home, it's right there. And
right.
So what we would do growing up, and this is kind of the tradition, if it's in the Catholic home, on the dinner table in the center, you have the Advent wreath. And before you have dinner, you might sing a song, or you might pray one of these prayers. And the youngest present who's able to will light the candle. This didn't happen to my family. I burned down my room when I was like 4 years old.
So oh, really?
I wasn't allowed to play with
the
matches.
Younger one. No.
Anna now light the candle and And it's kind of a cool thing. We used to shut the lights off, sing like O Come Emmanuel or something like that. And they're kind of, there's this mystery that comes into our lives at Christmas. And this is a way, you know, with the lights off and the beauty of the, you know, ambiance of the experience. It's just a really cool thing. Very sacramental.
I think that's great. And you have to do it physically. You have to have candles and songs and prayers and bring the lights down. These are things that like bring it alive, especially for children with their imagination.
Absolutely.
This will like paints the season. It makes it real for them.
Absolutely. And it's a great way to catechize our children, but it's also a great way to remind ourselves of the reason for this. And, and that's such a huge fallout. I mean, one of the reasons this podcast that you guys decided to start this is because there's been such a lack of catechesis for the last few generations in the church. Because not just because the church isn't catechizing as much or hasn't catechized, but because people in their homes aren't catechizing their own children. Right. You know, so this is a great way, a great practice to do. If you want to live the faith, make it more real in your experience, in your home, in your life, get an Advent wreath, one that's really evergreen.
Way better than mine. That's all we're saying. So, excellent.
Very good stuff. So,
yeah, that is good stuff. That is good stuff. CatholicStuffPodcast@gmail.com on Facebook. If you like Catholic stuff, tell your friends.
Hey, there you go. Tell your friends. It's a good thing. All right. You going to say goodbye or something?
All right, see ya.
From Catholic Stuff You Should Know, that was a look at Catholic Advent traditions. And coming up after this short break on Catholic Radio Indy's Lunchtime Podcast Sampler, we'll have Father Mike Schmitz with a podcast called The True Meaning of Advent. Stay tuned.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Are you ready for Christmas? Hi, my name is Father Mike Schmitz, and this is Ascension Presents. So the season of Advent, oh my gosh, what a great gift that the church gives to us these weeks preceding, leading up to Christmas. And now everyone's always like, Father Mike, everyone's always like, some people ask this, they don't rush up to me and ask the question though. They ask the question, so Father Mike, what's your perspective? What do you think about Christmas music during Advent? What do you think about putting up Christmas decorations during Advent? And I think that my opinion on that doesn't really matter. There's no prohibition against listening to Christmas music before Advent. It's not like you must not do this. There's no prohibition against decorating your home in Advent, during Advent for Christmas. But there's also no command to do it. So in that case, it seems that you're relatively free. You're relatively free to do, here's the thing, here's the key, gotta like be a like mature Christian. You're free to do what you know is gonna help you prepare for Christmas the best, because that's what the season of Advent's all about. You know, when it comes to the season of Advent, twofold purpose of Advent. One is it's to prepare, to get ourselves ready for the celebration of Christmas, to prepare ourselves to celebrate the first coming of Jesus Christ. So, question you can ask yourself, does listening to certain kinds of music help you prepare to celebrate on Christmas Day? You can say, does decorating your house prepare you to celebrate on that day, and also in the whole season of Christmas. Now, sometimes what happens is people listen to so much Christmas music, they are so full of decorations and so full of cookies or whatever the thing is, that they're like, no, by the time Christmas, the actual celebration rolls around, I'm not prepared to actually enter into the celebration as best as possible. In that case, you get to be the judge. You get to like be the one who says, oh, I need to cut back. I need to change some things. Again, remember, because the first meaning, reason, whatever, of Advent is to prepare ourselves for the celebration of Christmas, of Christ's first coming. So again, music, decorating, whatever, if that helps you, great. If it doesn't help you, change. It's awesome. But here's I think there's even a deeper purpose for Advent, because it's twofold, as I said. One is to prepare ourselves for the celebration of the first coming of Jesus, that we commemorate it, we celebrate it on December 25th. But Advent is also a preparation for Christ's second coming. Think about that. Advent is preparation a season where we get to prepare ourselves for the second coming of Jesus. Now, we have no idea when the second coming of Jesus is going to happen. Jesus himself says, you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will return, when he will return. And yet, we all know that the coming of Jesus will happen in our lifetime. What I mean by that is we recognize that the mortality rate for human beings continues to hover roughly around 100%, which means all of us are going to die. Whether it's Christ coming to the whole world at the end of time or you going to Jesus at the end of your life, that's the second coming of Jesus for you personally. Does that make sense? So if let's take this, put this, weave this all together. If, see that like that? If Advent is a season of preparation for the celebration of Christmas and a season of preparation for the second coming of Jesus, what if you lived this Advent differently? Rather than looking at it as simply another season, kind of getting you prepared for Christmas, what if you used it as a way to prepare to die? What I mean by that is, we know what date Christmas is going to be. It's December 25th this year. The last time I checked, it's December 25th. What if you imagined that this year, on December 25th, that's the day you're going to die? Like, that's it. That's your day. Here's the... Would you be ready for it? Like, would you use Advent to be ready, to get ready? Because that's the thing is, like, when it comes to our death, when it comes to Christmas, you can only be ready if you get ready, right? Like, so when it comes to, like, shopping, decorating, all those kind of pieces, there's so much that goes into celebrating the day that you can only be ready if you get ready, if you do all the preparations in advance. The same thing is true for our death. The same thing is true for meeting Jesus face to face, meeting the Father, the Holy Spirit face to face. You can only be ready for that moment if we get ready for that moment. And the church has given us the season of Advent to do what? To prepare for that moment. To prepare to be able to say, okay, December 25th is the day that I'm going to die. So question, how would you live Advent knowing now that December 25th is the day you're going to wake up dead? That December 25th is the day that you're going to come face to face with Jesus. Now all the questions of, like, should I listen to Christmas music or should I decorate my house, they might kind of fade into the background, and I realize that, oh, the purpose of Advent is far larger, maybe, than I originally anticipated. The purpose of Advent is not just make sure the presents are ready and wrapped, make sure that people are invited to whatever parties, to slow down and take your time. Like, no, maybe the purpose of Advent is I need to get ready because on December 25th, I die. I invite all of us this Advent to take that perspective into the season. That, yeah, December 25th, that's your death day. So how am I going to live the first Sunday of Advent? How am I going to live that first Monday of the first week of Advent? Because I know that at the end of this, end of these few weeks, end of these 4 weeks, I'm going to see God face to face. What will I change? Maybe I'll pray more. Maybe I'll intentionally reach out to people. Maybe there's people that I'm holding on to unforgiveness towards. Maybe I need to offer them some forgiveness. Maybe there's people that I need to ask forgiveness for. Maybe I need to call someone and reconcile with them. Little last thing here. Last year, I did a little mini homily series. It's on our website, bold.catholic.org. You can find it on iTunes. That we talked about this exact thing. The fact that December 25th is the day you're going to die. And I invited people to reach out. I invited people to, like, you know, what would you need to do? Who is that you're holding on to grudges against? Who is that you hurt and you've never been willing to ask them for forgiveness? So the next Sunday, one of our students came up to me and said, you know what, you said that. And what I did was I called some people from high school. I haven't seen them in years and years. But I know I was mean to them. There's one person in particular that I was mean to. It was a woman. She said, I was a bully to her. And I was so mean to her. And I called her up and I said, here's what I want you to know. I know I was mean to you. I'm so sorry. I did it because I was jealous of you, this whole kind of thing. And the woman responded and just said, I forgive you. And I know I was always so hurt. I didn't know why you were so mean to me when you were so nice to everyone else. And they reconciled. And she's like, I'm just one move closer to being ready to see the Lord. Because I don't have that anymore. She gave me forgiveness. And I asked for forgiveness. I did what I needed to do. And now I'm just that much more ready. There might be a big step that you're invited to take this Advent. Because, I mean, dying's kind of a big step. So what are the steps that you would need to take to be ready on December 25th to wake up dead? Use this Advent to prepare yourself to celebrate Christmas and to die. From all of us here at Ascension Presents, my name is Father Mike. Have a Merry Advent. So this shirt is quite linty, which is not even my fault. It is my fault. Of course it's my fault. It's my shirt. I wash it myself. And I apparently washed it with a towel in the dryer, or dried it with a towel in the dryer. Shame on me. Fool me once. It's happened three times now. Ridiculous.
Just a reminder that links to all these great offerings can be found under the podcast button on CatholicRadioIndy.org. That's all the time we have for the Lunchtime Podcast Sampler today. I pray that you found it nourishing to the soul and ask Jesus to keep us mindful of Advent among all the distractions of the season. Until next time, have a blessed and joyful Advent. And until then, may God bless.